In this time of global celebration for Leonard Bernstein, pianist Laura Downs releases a new album titled For Lenny.
It's more a reflection about what he did during his lifetime and what his legacy has accomplished after he's been gone, and the ways in which that is essential today.
On Insight Music, Laura Downs at a keyboard in our studio to talk about Bernstein and play some of his music. Then jazz saxophonist Mike McMullen, his new CD titled Picture Book, is dedicated to his mentors and his mom. It's very personal.
We have to have honesty, openness and honesty, because that's what reaches people. And that's my intention behind this.
To finish the hour, Sacramento's Element Brass Band. They had people marching in the streets on Fat Tuesday. I'm Beth Ruriak. Insight Music is next. First, the news. From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Music. I'm Beth Ruriak. You're listening to Leonard Bernstein's classic song, Something's Coming, from West Side Story. It's performed by pianist Laura Downs. Later this year, on August 25th, Bernstein would have celebrated his centennial birthday. He died in 1990 when he was 74 years old. Laura is now touring with music from her new album titled For Lenny, and she joined me in our studio recently at the keyboard to play music and reflect on Leonard Bernstein.
I think I look to him as a guide along my path as a musician, as an American musician particularly. You know, he was someone who gave his all in every situation. He tried so many things. He did so many things, and he did them big, you know? And I think that he struggled, as all artists do, as I do. It's a complicated and a demanding life, and I think that his commitment to taking this music that he loved so much, to giving it to as many people as he could, and to really digging down into what was essential about it, what could help and heal and unite his listeners across the board. That's something that's very inspirational to me. I think that, you know, when I'm sitting at my piano here in Sacramento, or when I'm getting on another early morning flight, when I'm uncomfortable or it seems effortful, when I remember why I do this, you know, all of the good that it can do, all of the beauty that it can bring, he's connected with that every time.
It would seem natural that you would create an album to honor him at this time because of the 100th birthday. Is this project more than that?
It is. I mean, it's a birthday present for him and for all of us. As someone who's been so inspired by him, who loves his music so much, of course, it's kind of a perfect opportunity to celebrate that. But I think it's more a reflection about what he did during his lifetime and what his legacy has accomplished after he's been gone, and the ways in which that is essential today. He changed his time. He was formed by his time, but he changed his time. And I think that his music continues to have real and essential impacts on the way that we experience our culture. And I think that there's a whole new generation, you know, who can be helped and taught through that example.
Would you begin with Story of My Life and share a little bit of that private side of Leonard Bernstein? Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Laura Downs. This song is Story of My Life by Leonard Bernstein. That one is not so well known, is it? What's the story of that song?
That is a song that was written for the show Wonderful Town and then cut from the show.
Oh, that's why.
Yeah,
it's
cut.
Okay.
It's been just such an exciting discovery. You know, he wrote such amazing music, and he wrote so much music, and yet there are these treasures to be found, songs that never showed up, you know, anywhere, and they're just exquisite.
So he dedicated a lot of his music to his three children, Alexander, Jamie, and Nina, also to his wife, Felicia. But you've become very close friends with his son, Alexander. Mm-hmm. And it feels like the journey of giving out or sending out this music has also been in collaboration with Alexander.
Yeah, we've been working together. We were just here at the Mondavi Center a couple of weeks ago. We've been touring and doing performances where we share the music from this project and, you know, all of his beautiful stories about his dad. And I think, you know, that was what drew me in, I think, this private side of such a very public person. That's why I've been drawn to these more intimate pieces of music and, you know, kind of what motivated me to make this album. So working with Alex, getting to know him and Jamie and Nina, and, you know, understanding more about who their father was as an intensely private person, as a person who was so committed to family and friendship. And I think, you know, that was kind of the sustenance, that was the source of the creativity that he was then able to take out into the world. So it feels like really a privilege to have that connection and that insight.
How's Leonard Bernstein different then from that imaginary great legend that you've had over your shoulder or side by side with you on the piano bench? I guess you're seeing his humanity, his realness.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think that those two things are in conflict. I think that his humanity and his realness were at the heart of everything that he was publicly. You know, if you watch the young people's concerts, even the music, I think that, you know, when you listen to West Side Story, I experience within that, you know, a real authenticity. Yes, it's, you know, it's larger than life and it's big and bold, but it's very authentic. I think he was driven more than anything by his curiosity. And everything that he did was very genuine and very heartfelt. Mm-hmm. The risks that he took and the rules that he broke musically, the things that he tried that were so far ahead of his time, I think that those were absolutely driven by, you know, just this burning curiosity to reach out into other genres, into other areas, to pull things together, to experiment, to, you know, break new ground. That's a very motivating thing for me. So I think that these two things coexist really beautifully. You know, this private person who was, if you ask Alex what was the most important part of his dad, he'll talk there too about his dad as a teacher. You know, there was no such thing as a dinner conversation that didn't turn into a lecture, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was just always trying to teach and learn and grow and give. And I think you find that both within these smaller, more intimate pieces on this record. Watch the movie West Side Story. It's there, too.
You're listening to classical pianist Laura Downs. She's sitting at a keyboard in our studio, and we're talking about her new album, For Lenny, which is a tribute to the music and to the legacy of Leonard Bernstein. Let's talk about a track on the album titled Big Stuff. And this takes us back to a conversation you and I have had before, because Billie Holiday was the focus of one of your earlier albums. And Big Stuff is a song that Leonard Bernstein wrote for Billie Holiday in 1946.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote this as the opening number of his ballet Fancy Free. And the funny thing is that when he, at the time, he was, you know, a young guy. And it was, I guess, his, you know, his first big show. But he was not moving in the same circles as Billie Holiday, who was already a superstar. So he wrote this with her in mind. He admired her so much as a musician, but he didn't have the, you know, the chutzpah or the means, I guess, to get in touch with her directly. So his sister Shirley sang this in the first performances of the show. Then, you know, the song did get into her hands and she fell in love with it and recorded it, I think, six times. Mm. But for me, you know, because you know the relationship that I have with Billie Holiday and how much she has meant to me as a musician, and now Bernstein too, and just this kind of brings them, you know, both into the same room over my shoulder, and it feels like everything is coming together.
Thank you.
So beautiful. That's Laura Downs. She's in our studio at the keyboard sharing music from her new album, For Lenny. The anniversaries. All these groups of special songs that he composed for special, important people in his life. Have the anniversaries been a part of your repertoire, your playing for many, many years since your training, I guess, in Europe?
No, I came to them a bit later, and I just, you know, when I discovered them, I was really fascinated, you know, to learn everything I could learn through them. You know, they offer really interesting insights into his relationships. For example, you know, there's an anniversary he wrote for Aaron Copland, who is his dear friend and collaborator, and it's almost like a portrait of Copland, and that reaches out in all different directions. And so you kind of just experience all these different relationships through music.
Is any one your favorite?
Depends on the moment. They're also beautiful, and they show such different sides, so I don't know that I have a favorite. I love the anniversary for Stephen Sondheim. It's so beautiful and lyrical, and I think, you know, it's just this very affectionate tribute to the kind of lyricism that he was able to find as a composer when he was working with Sondheim.
Laura, let's finish with a bit about one other track on the album, a song called Some Other Time, which seems appropriate for the ending of a conversation.
Mm-hmm. And the ending of an album, you know, and it's the final track on the album. And I think it's a really beautiful way to put this project to bed. This is one of my favorite songs that Bernstein wrote or that anybody has ever written. It's just a gorgeous, you know, nostalgic tune. It's from the show On the Town.
That was Some Other Time by Leonard Bernstein, performed by Laura Downs. She will be in concert, by the way, at the Mondavi Center in Davis on April 29th. Her new album is titled For Lenny. And if you want to hear more about her Billie Holiday album, we've posted a link at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight Music on Capital Public Radio. You're listening to Insight Music on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. This is original music by saxophonist Mike McMullen. He's a professor of jazz music at Sacramento State. With a long career as a performer, he's played with some of the greats, including Ray Charles and Natalie Cole. And he's performing in a special show this Sunday at Clara Auditorium in Midtown Sacramento. Mike wrote and recorded a new album recently. It's titled Picture Book. The music has layers of meaning. And he joined us with jazz guitarist Steve Homan to share some of the story behind the new project.
The inception of the album came from after my mother had passed after a long decline, and it was kind of a response to that. And so I was sitting, putting together a collage of photos out of the albums, the family albums. And I had all these pictures sitting around me on the floor and on the desk and on my lap. And it kind of reminded me of leaves fallen from a tree and with all the family stories in it, you know, her stories of her life as well as the extended family and my own stories as well. And that just generated a certain feeling, which became this piece, Picture Book. After I'd worked with it for a while, then I developed some variations from the material from that song and began working on other songs. And those variations eventually became the idea for, well, I have to record this.
How was your mom instrumental, so to speak, in your life as a musician? How did she influence you and direct you?
Specifically as a musician, not as much, but supportive of anything that I chose to do. That was very important to me because I didn't get that from all sides in my life. Related to one of the other songs, she was very round on the outside and square on the inside.
Yeah, it's such a great song title.
That's actually a Chinese expression from a master, I think his name was Shang Yan. It means accommodate, but live with principle and follow your principles no matter what. We get along, but we have to follow our own instincts. And she was very much like that. She seemed very soft and easy, but she had inner steel.
More, Mike, about sharing very personal music that comes out of very personal experiences in your life?
It takes courage. Let's start there, because you have to open yourself up. But one of my premises when I teach and I talk to the students and as a performer, I think it's we have to have honesty, openness and honesty, because that's what reaches people. And that's my intention behind this, you know. It's I wanted to reach that universal element in the listeners. And so much of the music surrounding this is very personal for that reason. I think the premise behind this piece is it takes courage to do certain things in our lives. And this is about that courage. It's like when we take chances. And the bigger the chance, the farther you fall. I read an article about a man that really solidified it in my own mind. His name was Joe Kittinger, and he truly was a man who fell to earth. In 1960, he went up in a helium balloon. He went 19 miles up and jumped out of the capsule and survived.
Seriously?
He was in a space suit, and so if you've heard of skydiving, this is truly called space diving. And that feat was not matched until 2012, when they actually exceeded that. So I guess you could call it the ultimate hold my beer moment.
So think of that as you hear Fell to Earth by Mike McMullen and Steve Homan.
Thank you.
jazz saxophonist Mike McMullen with jazz guitarist Steve Homan. That is a song called Fell to Earth from Mike's new CD, Picture Book. Let's listen to another song from the album. This is titled Elegy for Aoife, and then we'll talk about the story behind it. So I do want to know what was behind it, because I can feel you and something in it.
Well, it's centered on a very personal family tragedy. And the tragedy being there was a full-term stillborn baby. And so she was born, there was a funeral. And those kinds of things, there's no real response to that. When we went in, after I wrote the piece and I talked to the guys about recording it, I told them that story. This was someone in the extended family. And then I said, you know, it's how do you feel after that? You know, you feel listless and unfocused and uncertain and just nothing has any meaning in the world anymore with a tragedy like that. I said, don't think about the music. Think about the impression. Think about the feeling and play the feeling.
Steve Homan, you were part of a small group that recorded this music.
Correct.
With Mike, so you obviously remembered the moment, the song that he's talking about.
Yeah, it feels the same as it does now. We are experiencing listening to his explanation, and it was a very personal event for Mike, but it's a personal event for many people to go through, and so it's never happened to me, but I could relate to it on a personal level, even though I haven't gone through that.
That was Mike McMullen and a song from Mike's new CD, Picture Book. Tell me about the song A Well-Lived Life and your mindset for that one.
This is a kicking back on the porch at twilight and listening to the birds and looking up into the trees and feeling like, yep, things are okay. It's more with respect to two kind of extended family members, men, who had passed on. And because I didn't feel like I had a really good male role model at home. So there were mentors through my music career. Phil Sobel was the man that I studied saxophone with in Los Angeles. Dick Grove, whom I studied composition and arranging with. A family member, Chuck Chapman, who was my uncle for many years, you know, whom I admired from afar, as it were. But the mentorships in particular of people that I admired, and I thought, I want to model myself on these people. And so that's more of a dedication to male role models, I guess you'd say.
great to have your friends who are also such terrific musicians be the group to back you up and perform this music with you.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big part of being able to do a project like this. These guys are my friends. And we've known each other for, Steve and I, now 30 years. We just worked that out. This is our anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Congratulations. Wow.
Sometime around
this
time of the year.
It's a long time.
Yeah. It's always nice to play with new people and get excitement like that. But when you have long-term relationships like that, we walk in and we play anything, brand new music, and it just falls together. Everybody trusts everybody. Mm-hmm. We each have each other's back. If somebody misses something, it really doesn't matter. And being able to present music like this, I think it's very important to have those friendships. I was very uncertain about doing all of it. It's really hard to walk in and say, here's something that has a lot of meaning, and do it justice. And that's gratifying as much as anything, is to have musicians I respect and friendships say that this is worth doing.
Music from saxophonist Mike McMullen, a jazz music professor at Sacramento State and a member of the Sacramento Jazz Orchestra. His new album is titled Picture Book. You can hear Mike and many others this Sunday at the Capital Jazz Project Passing of the Torch concert, 7 to 10 p.m. at the auditorium at Clara in Midtown Sacramento. There's more at capradio.org/insight. This is Insight Music on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. Welcome back to Insight Music, our monthly showcase of what's happening in the regional music scene. I'm Beth Ruriak. We started the Mardi Gras celebration a little bit early on Insight with a visit from Sacramento's Element Brass Band. The band's big, powerful sound filled the studio, and then after the show, we recorded a video in the Cap Radio Garden, and you can find it on our website. Here's some of our conversation in the studio. Bandleader and saxophonist Byron Colburn introduced everyone.
Thanks for having us. Yes, so I'm here. We have to my right Brandon Au on trombone. Also on trombone this morning, we have Gio Antolin. We've got Brandon's brother Justin on trumpet with us today. Back in the rhythm section, we've got Miss Q on the drums.
Q.
Also Zarin Sims on drums. And Mr. Benoit Shepherd on the sousaphone, the big bass horn. And rounding it all out, we have our hype man, our MC, Daniel Smith, with us this morning.
Mr. Smith, glad to have you all here.
Thank
so,
you.
Brandon, I hear that you're the one I can talk a little history with, because Mardi Gras seems to be center stage for first line and second line, but it wasn't always that way. It didn't actually just come out of Mardi Gras.
Well, there's a great tradition of brass band in a lot of our culture. A lot of it comes from marches, military backgrounds. Like one of the first brass bands that comes to mind is like John Philip Sousa from that era. And back in New Orleans, when you know the first melting pot of jazz was starting to be formed, it came from partially those brass bands. The marches, people would be playing in the street. Music that people had a pulse they could walk to, and it kind of mixed in with the other cultures that were culminating around that area. You had the French quadrilles, which was kind of like a dance that was going on. You had ragtime, Scott Joplin, you know, playing songs like The Entertainer, Maple Leaf Rag, which evolved, and they kind of messed around with the beat, made it a little bit more ragged, as it were. And all of this kind of mixed in with the blues that came in from you know, African-Americans coming in from the South, and they all mix together, and it's kind of like my favorite food that is served at Mardi Gras and in New Orleans, you know, gumbo, which is a mixture of all these different cultures.
I went to the crossroads, fell down on my knees.
you take those things, the marches and all those things, and everyone brings in what they can bring to the table into the music. So you can have the same song being played and with different people, and it'll be different because they all have their own strengths and their own spin that they'll put on the songs that we play.
Hey, could I hear some second line applause for that history lesson?
Absolutely.
That was pretty awesome, wasn't it? Yeah. So, Benoit, with the tuba, the way you marched and played would have been so much different if you were in a John Philip Sousa march compared to throwing the blues in there.
No, absolutely. And, you know, Buddy Bolden, you know, they had something called Big Four. You know, one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And that was kind of the pulse that changed how people moved. Transitioning from the marching band to kind of the brass band thing, and not only how, you know, how the tuba plays, but how the community and people dance there. This has always been a community music, and people come out and they get involved. They can't help it. You know, and a lot of it is just the change of that drum. We can't help but, you know, groove a little bit as we play.
So give me that again, the one, two, three, four, and everybody just start improvising, just to add into the beat he's got going, because you all started moving as soon as he did that. So go for it, Benoit.
One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. Don't wanna see that Mardi Gras. Don't wanna see that Mardi Gras. While I'm going to New Orleans. Don't wanna see that Mardi Gras.
Yeah, that's the idea of second line. That's just what would happen, right? You're out in the street and
it happens all the time.
Somebody throws out the beat and the sound and everybody jumps in to follow. Okay, so Daniel, in a more formal setting, you'd be MC, but when you're in the street and you're going with a brass band, that's when your percussion skills need to be tapped, right?
Very true, very true. I might see a little child or a grandmother that's over there, you know, kind of not engaging with us. So I kind of went over there and let her know, or let him know, that, hey, you're part of the party. You're the second line. So get up, you know, dance, baby, dance. You know, it's a rhythm. It's a rhythm thing. It's passion. It's love. People see that we're coming from the heart at everything that we do, every spectrum, every corner. So they engage.
Well, I do want to get to the album, but we've set up so nicely here for some music. You ready for a first song?
Sure. Yeah, we'd love to play a tune for you. This is going to be the title track of our new album. We brought a copy in here for you, Beth. It's called Turn Up by our drummer, Matt Gentry.
Your feet,
get up on your feet,
and get down with E, baby.
Down with E, baby.
Yo, come on, baby, dance.
Come on, baby, dance.
I said, dance, baby, dance.
And dance, baby, dance.
Yo, get out your seat,
get up out your feet,
and get down with this beat.
And get down with this beat.
Don't you worry about nobody.
Don't worry about nobody.
Turn up, everybody. Turn up, turn up.
We'll be right back. Yes.
Good morning.
They are Element Brass Band. I can't talk softly after all that, can I? Whew. All right, let's talk about the new album. Callie Got a Brass Band.
Yeah, so this is our brand new album. It's our second album, but it's been a little while since we've put one out. This work is kind of to let people know that, Callie does have a brass band. This music comes from New Orleans, but it's growing out here, and we want people to know that we got something to say. This album is all original music, and lots of different people from the band have contributed. Once you check it out, you notice that pretty much I think every tune is composed by somebody else different in the band. So it's pretty unique in that respect, too, for a brass band to get kind of our own flavor on things, so to speak.
That's Byron Colburn with Benoit Shepherd, Miss Q in the back, Zarin Sims, Gio Antolin, Justin Al, Brandon Al, and Daniel Smith. So there's a lot of you. How do you make sure that you stay in agreement, all good friends, no drama, no fussing?
Well, we've been...
Nobody said a word. You just had to lean in, Byron.
I'm like, well, I'll field this one as the band leader. You know. Well,
wait, no, Benoit wants
to say something. Yeah,
well, you know, it comes to the music. We're all involved in so many different things throughout, you know, our days. But when we get to come together and break bread through the music, it becomes about the music. And we're able to put things aside and just play.
I think we have a little bit more music.
Sure, yeah. We'd love to play another tune for you. This next one is also on our album, and it's called Eat Your Heart Out.
Don't trip, we got this game on lock. Callie got a brass band, we just won't stop. A glass of lemonade or some gummy sticks. This band, EBB, we do the ultimate. And we gon' turn up, warp non-style. We gettin' wild, and listen to the band. This is the Get Down, it's the doctor of the band. And the doctor will see you now. Like full court pressing the beats, lyrically pressing the beats, just finessing the beats, never stressing the beats, what? And it's an ill technique, so watch my brass band speak. San Diego, San Diego, San Diego, Cali got a brass band, eat your heart. San Francisco, San Francisco, San Francisco. You know, Cali got a brass band, eat your heart, Bay Area.
Bay Area.
Bay Area.
Bay Area.
Said Cali got a brass band, eat your heart out. The valley, the valley, the bay, the bay.
Thank you.
Sacramento's Element Brass Band with Byron Colburn, Brandon Au, Gio Antolin, Justin Au, Mrs. Q, Zarin Sims, and Daniel Smith. Saturday, March 10th, the band is playing the Boom Boom Room in San Francisco. Then fast forward, Saturday, April 14th, Element Brass Band comes back to Shady Lady in Sacramento. And on Wednesday, May 2nd, the band is playing the final noon show at Sac State. That's Insight Music for this month. I'm Beth Ruriak. Our producers are Jen Picard, Chris Remington, and Cody Drabble. Thanks to Andrew Nixon and Matt Pacini for help with the videos. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Have a great weekend. Go out and enjoy some live music.